Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 62 in your hardback hymnal, number 62, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's all stand together. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. Please be seated.
Good evening. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 11, please? Psalm 11. I look forward to preaching from this psalm next Wednesday night. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. The gospel's destroyed, we've got no place else to go. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But the righteous Lord, loveth righteousness, His countenance doth uphold the upright. I'd like to ask you to pray with me for Jennifer. She's going to be having that procedure tomorrow. She meets with the doctor at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think they planned the surgery for 11. So we'll be leaving Friday to go to Lexington for the conference up there. And Robert and Michael will be bringing messages to you here. So let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're thankful that no other foundation can be laid than the one that has been laid. And that we're to take heed on how we build on that foundation. Lord, we pray that the building that's done tonight would be as true and faithful as is the foundation. We pray that you would give us the ability to speak faithfully and truthfully about the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only is the foundation, but who is the building itself. We pray, Lord, that you would give to our souls hope and safety in him, and that you would give to us the faith to flee to him and rest in him. And Father, we pray for the doctors tomorrow. We thank you for the way that you've directed them in the past, and we ask, Lord, for your mercy, for your guidance, and for your help as they perform this procedure on Jennifer. We pray for your hand of strength and healing to be upon her. We ask, Lord, for the meeting in Lexington, that you would give each of those men preaching the ability to speak with clarity and with conviction, that Christ will be lifted up. Pray for Michael and for Robert, and ask, Lord, that you would bless them as they finish their preparations for Sunday, and that you would be pleased to manifest your glory and your grace here among your people. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 23 in the Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book. Let's all stand once again. Number 23.
Pass me not, O gracious Father, sinful wretched though I be, though you might in truth condemn me, let your mercy fall on me. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me. Pass me not, O blessed Savior, let me hear your gracious call. I'm a guilty, helpless sinner, Savior, at your feet I fall. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, you can cause the dead to live. Speak the word of saving power, give me faith and make me live. Love of God so ever. save me. Reach down with your hand of mercy, saving others, Lord, save me. Love of God so everlasting, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and saving, magnify them all in me.
Please be seated.
Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 9, please? Psalm 9. The title of this message is, How Can I Know God? How can I know God? And the answer to that question is given to us in verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Now, it's vitally important that I know God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There's no salvation apart from knowing God. Having an understanding, a faith in him, a trust in him. And here the Lord tells us the means by which we know him. It's his judgments which he executeth. And the word judgment here is a verdict. We have judges, and we know we make judgments about our judges, if you will, based on their judgments, don't we? We might have a fair judge, an unfair judge, a liberal judge, a conservative judge. We have judges that that offer their opinions, and then their opinions have to be weighed with the opinions of other judges before judgments can be made. Not so with the Lord. All of his judgments are executed. He doesn't consult with anybody. He doesn't have an opinion about anything. We could even say that a judgment is a decision, and yet the word decision has as its understanding a choice to be made. You know, God never makes a choice. He doesn't have to. He acts according to his nature, and everything he does is right. He doesn't have to weigh the consequences of different opinions and different positions. He just acts. Everything he does is the execution of his judgments. And as we find out what those judgments are, and as we see how God has executed those judgments, we know something of him. We know something of him. How can we know God? The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Lord, I want to know something about the judgments of God and what his ordained purpose is. That's his judgments. What his decrees are. Now, the Lord also tells us in Romans chapter 11 that his judgments are unsearchable and his ways are past finding out. So the full truth of the judgments of God, which is who he is, are beyond our ability to comprehend. When we talk about knowing God, we're not talking about having a full understanding of him. Our God is unsearchable. His judgments are past finding out. Paul said in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know in part. And then we will know even as we are known. We look through a glass dimly now, but then we'll see him face to face and be made like him. In that day, we'll know the fullness of his judgments. Right now, we see as he's pleased to reveal himself in the judgments that he's given us in his word. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Now, this psalm is full of judgments. The Lord tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 2, true and righteous are thy judgments. All the decrees of God, all the judgments of God, all the decisions, if you will, of God are true and righteous. And in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy. All nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So the Lord says that his judgments are made manifest. They're made known. How are they made known? They're made known in his word by his spirit to the hearts of his people through faith. And so the Lord is known by his judgments. Now what does God judge? What does he look at the rest of this verse? The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. The wicked believes that somehow what he's producing with the works of his hands are going to make him acceptable to God, and he's going to be snared by the very things that he's hoping and trusting in for the hope of his salvation. That's God's judgment. Now look at the next word in this verse. It's unusual to have a word in our English Bible in the Hebrew, but here it is, hygeion. This word's only used two other places in the scriptures. One's in Psalm 19, verse 14, and it's translated meditation. And the second place it's used is in Psalm 92, and it's translated a solemn sound. And you know the word Selah is rest. That's what that word means. And so the significance of this verse is the Lord God is known by the judgments which he executed. Meditate on this and rest. Think about this. This is your hope. This is your life. This is your salvation. Apart from this, there is no salvation. Now, what does God require? What are his judgments in terms of his requirements? And we've seen over and over that the Psalms, when David speaks, he's speaking prophetically for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of David. He's the type of Christ. And the first and foremost way of understanding all the Psalms is to see them as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does David say in verse 1? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. And Luke chapter 10, a certain lawyer tempting the Lord came to the Lord and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord asked him, what does the law say? And this lawyer knew the law, and he said, the law says that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a summary of the whole of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord said, you have spoken rightly. Do this, and you shall live. Do this. Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and you shall live. Now, the child of God with a new spirit and a new heart does love Christ. We love him because he's first loved us. We hang all the hopes of our salvation on him. We're brought by his spirit to seek him every day. We rest in him. But every child of God knows that they've never done anything with their whole heart and with all their mind and with all their soul. And yet that's what God requires. That's what the law says you must do. The Lord Jesus himself said to that lawyer, you do that and you'll live. Now, who is it that God judged faithful to keep the law? The Son of David. And if we're found in Christ, that's what that word Selah means, rest. The wicked are going to be caught in the snares of their own hand, but those who know him, they're going to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to rest in him. They're going to rest in him as the one who satisfied all the demands of God's law. You and I have never been able to have a truly holy thought, not one single time. The Lord Jesus Christ never had anything but truly holy thoughts all the time. He loved God with all of his heart and all of his mind and all of his soul all of the time. And God looked at him and said, that's my beloved son. In him, I'm well pleased. I judge him faithful to have kept the law. And I'm satisfied with him. Hear ye him. Follow after him. Look to him. Look to him. Because my judgments are not opinions. My judgments are decrees. And you will know the Lord your God by the judgments which I have executed. The Lord Jesus Christ executed faithfully in his life everything that God required of us so that we can say, Lord, whatever, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that you require from me. Don't look to me for anything. These are his judgments which he executeth. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Now we see in part, we speak in part. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And that's the way we are right now. We just see glimpses of his marvelous works. The marvelous work of redemption. We believe that he was successful in executing the judgments of God in redeeming those whom he came to save. And we know him by his faithful execution of his redemptive work. He says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. The Lord Jesus, everything we know about the marvelous work of God, we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning with the covenant of grace. That was his judgment, which he executed when the Lord Jesus Christ struck hands with the Father as the surety of his church. They executed their judgment to save a people. God executed his judgment to choose whomsoever he wills. Before the foundation of the world, God executed his judgment to place those whom God chose in Christ as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now that's the execution of God's judgment. This is not an opinion. This is a one judge court. And he reigns sovereign. And when he drops the gavel, whatever he says stands. And God's people say what? Amen. Amen. Lord, I'm not here to question you. I'm not here to call you into doubt. I'm just to say, Lord, I know you by the execution of your judgments. And the execution of your judgment is that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you with all of his heart and he showed forth all thy marvelous works. All the marvelous works of redemption, all the marvelous works of election are shown forth in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the marvelous works of adoption, that God would make us to be his people through faith. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. How do we receive him? Receive him by faith. By faith. Or by grace through faith. To them, God made the children of God. What a marvelous work. We were talking Sunday about adoption, and what an amazing thing adoption is. For Jerry and Mary Ann to travel to China twice and go into an orphanage and pick out Rachel and Rebecca and bring them home. Those little girls didn't have anything to do with that. Not a single thing did they have to do with that. That was all Jerry and Mary Ann's decision, wasn't it? And what a marvelous work when God is pleased to come into a world of an orphanage. People who have no parent, they have no relationship with God. They're without God, they're strangers to the covenants of grace. And that the Lord would be pleased to pick out certain individuals and adopt them. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll show forth all thy marvelous works. I'll show forth what your law really looks like. Purpose of the law of God is to make sin utterly sinful. And the way it does that is it demonstrates the perfection of God, doesn't it? That's the purpose. The law was never given as a rule for Christian living. The law was given in order to show the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was given for. And we look at the law, we come to some understanding of how far we fall short of his glory. Scripture says the law was given in order to make sin utterly sinful. I will show forth thy marvelous works. This is how we know God, by the judgments which he executed. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Now God requires, God's judgment is that you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Now, how many times do we fall short of that? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was glad. The scripture says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He had the full anointing of the Spirit of God. Never had a hint of depression or uncontrolled anger or impatience. He was glad and rejoiced in the Father all the time. All the time. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now the judgment that God executed, the decree that God requires, is that we worship him. We worship him. That's what the Lord told the woman at the well. The Lord seeketh after them who worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember, she said, you know, she wanted to debate with him about where to worship. Our fathers say we should worship here at Gerizim, and you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem. And what is it? They're still having that debate, aren't they? And the Lord said, no, the Father seeketh them who worship him in spirit and in truth. Now you've come here tonight because you wanted, God has put into our hearts a desire to worship him. And yet our worship is so fraught with with distractions and unbelief, isn't it? We can't give him our undivided attention and worship him in the fullness of his spirit and according to the full impact of his truth. We just can't do it. We're not capable. The Lord Jesus Christ did. One day we will. One day we'll worship him without any of the hindrances of sin that we now experience. But here's his judgment. His judgment is that you worship me and praise me and be glad and rejoice in me perfectly. And the Lord Jesus Christ executed that judgment. And so what do? Hygeion, Selah. We meditate on the hope that we have by resting in Christ. That's what we do. That's what faith does. And the Lord is known. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. Look at verse 3. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Oh, and they did. Satan fell and perished at the presence of God. And we read the end of the story about Satan, don't we? When he's going to be chained and cast into the lake of fire. And that's the judgment of God. That's the decree of God. That yet has not been executed in Satan's experience, but it will be. It will be. And faith believes that whatever yet has not been executed will be executed because it is the judgment of God. It is the decree of the judge who has said, this is the way it's going to be. And faith just believes everything the judge says. Everything he says. That's how we know God. We know him by believing him. Look at verse 4. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging righteousness. Now that can only be understood as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in their fullness, can't they? He's saying to the Father, You upheld my cause. What was his cause? What was his cause? To save his people. That's what his cause was. That's what he came to do. To save sinners. And to glorify the Father. And now he's saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You're going to uphold my cause. Because I've been faithful to execute your judgments. You're going to maintain my right. I have a right. It goes all the way back before time to that covenant of grace when you gave to me a bride and I agreed to lay down my life for her, and she's my right. She's my beloved. And I've made her comely through my comeliness. And now, Father, you uphold my cause because you sat in your judgment seat and you judged righteously. Now judges today don't always judge righteously, do they? They make mistakes. Parents make mistakes, don't they? God never does. He sits on his throne and he executes his judgment with righteousness. And he upholds the cause and the right of his son. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered Satan. And he won to himself those whom God chose to give him in election. And now he's saying the enemy's been destroyed. That's what the book of Hebrews says, that Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. What are his works? What are his works? To try to stop the execution of the judgments of God. To try to blind men, to keep them in unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed him. He came to lead captivity captive. He came in order to make us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so he's saying here, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou destroyed the wicked, thou put out their name forever and ever. You have executed the judgments of God faithfully. How do we know God? The Lord is known by the judgments which he executed. Look at verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Oh, Lord, my unbelief, my sin is such a trouble for me. The circumstances of my life, I don't understand them, and I try to control them, and I try to fix things, and I'm just a mess all the time. I'm in trouble. And the Lord said, come to me. Come to me. Lord, I've got a sin problem that I can't fix. That's our real trouble, isn't it? That's our real trouble. Circumstances, they'll change. They'll change. But the problem with our sin, that's something that neither time nor money can fix. Nothing's going to solve that problem. We need a Savior. We need an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We need one who is able to execute the judgments of God in offering himself up for our sin and putting them away once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. And that's exactly what he did. And so he says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Lord, my sin is an oppression to me. I need a place of safety. I need a city of refuge. I need a sanctuary city. I need a place where I can flee to and find deliverance from this oppression. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. I'll give you rest for your soul. And that's what he's saying here. I executed the judgments of God. And that's how we know the Lord. We know him by the judgments which he executed. Look at what else he says in verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. We looked at that last Wednesday night, didn't we? The names of God, they reveal his character. All the I ams of Scripture, all the glorious names that the Lord takes to himself are just ways for the Lord to reveal himself to his people by his name. And they that know his name will put their trust. The Lord Jesus Christ executed the judgments of God. You and I are not capable of executing any of his judgments. And the Lord says, the wicked, they're going to be taken snare by the very hand that they're trusting in. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ever, ever, ever. What a promise. You know, I love that passage where Paul's speaking of knowing God, and then he almost corrects himself and said, or rather that he knows you.
Because when we're not faithful, he remaineth faithful. He remaineth faithful. Say, you keep turning from me, I'll never forsake you. I'll keep bringing you back. I'll keep revealing myself. I'll keep showing you how it is that I executed the judgments of God. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. His doings. You know, we looked Sunday about the self-righteous hypocrite, the Pharisaical spirit. It's always boasting in what they're doing. And I used the illustration of crickets and worms. And one of the things I didn't make about crickets in that illustration is how loud they are. But they are. They're very loud, aren't they? I mean, you get on certain nights when the crickets start, you can't even carry on a conversation sometimes. They can get so loud. Isn't that the way the world is? Climbing on top of each other, trying to see who's... And they're boasting in themselves, loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's what he's saying here. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth. Declare among the people, not what you've done, but his doings. What is his doings? He's executed the judgments of God. That's his doings. God made decrees. God made judgments. God, as the one and only judge, decided how things were going to be. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all those judgments. And what do? We declare his doings. We declare his faithfulness to have kept the law. We declare his accomplished work of redemption at Calvary's cross in satisfying God's divine justice and putting away our sins. We declare him as the only righteous one before God. He is our righteousness. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, and he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Now, every time God makes an inquisition, it is for blood. Now, this is a reference to God. Well, it goes all the way back to Cain, who was held accountable to God for the blood of his brother. He said, "Your brother's blood cries out from the ground to me. And I'm making inquisition for his blood against you. And you're guilty." And the Lord Jesus Christ now shedding his precious blood, God makes inquisition of that blood. And his blood cries out from the ground to those who were responsible for the shedding of his blood. But rather than saying guilty, that blood cries out free. Free. Forgiven. Forgiven. Perfectly forgiven. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, and he forgetteth not the cry of... You see that word humble? It's the word afflicted. Afflicted. Or that's what I am. I'm afflicted. I've got an affliction I can't cure. I've got leprosy. I don't pretend to understand the full horror of it, but I know there's no clean flesh on me. And the reason I know that is because you've executed your judgment in my heart to reveal to me that I'm a sinner and that everything about me falls short of your glory. And so I'm afflicted. Lord, make inquisition of the blood of thy Son for me. Let his blood cry out on my behalf, forgiven. Have mercy upon me, verse 13. O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, that thou liftest me up from the gates of death. Now, that's the believer's cry, but that's the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's crying out to the Father. Don't allow me. Don't allow me to see corruption. He's pleading with the Father to execute the judgments of God in finding him faithful to raise from the dead. How do we know God? We know the Lord by the judgments which he hath executed. Do you believe that the judgments which he executed are true and faithful? It's the means by which we know him. Verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The execution of his judgments is to make his grace and his glory known to his people. And so he's praying to the Father, Father, if you'll raise me, you'll not allow me to see corruption. If you'll execute your judgments on my behalf in finding me faithful, then I will lead your people in Zion to show forth your praise and to declare that salvation is of the Lord. It's all of him. I didn't have anything to do with it. He did it all. And he did it all by himself. The heathen, verse 15, are sunk down in the pit that they made. That they made. They're looking into the pit. It's a broken cistern. It's polluted waters. They have no understanding of the fountain of life that flows from the Lord Jesus Christ, the river that's clear as crystal. They're digging in the ground a pit that they're going to be in. Verse 15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, and in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Oh, I'll do this or I'll do that. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And they're always scheming. And they're always promoting themselves. It's like we said Sunday. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's the righteous and the wicked. And all the righteous believe themselves to be wicked, and all the wicked believe themselves to be righteous. Yeah, they do. Every one of them. Every one of them. Doing something, offering God something. And the Lord said they're going to be taken, they're going to be ensnared in their own net. And they're going, and the works of their hands, the wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. You see, the grounds on which you come to God is the one he will receive you on. You come to God on the grounds of anything that you've done, on the execution of his judgments that you've accomplished, and that's how he'll receive you. And that ground will become your judgment. That's the way it is. That's what the Lord's saying here. Meditate on this. Higgion. Selah. Rest in Christ. Think about the importance of this. The Lord is known by the execution of his judgments. Who executed his judgments? The wicked. Here's one of his judgments. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. There's those that are in Christ and those that aren't in Christ. Those who have the judgments of God executed in the person of their substitute, and those who are attempting to execute the judgments of God on their own. It's just, that's it. There's no in between. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Lord, your people just seem to be so poor and needy. They seem to be so behind everybody else in this world. They're not always going to be that way. This is one of the judgments that God's going to execute, isn't he? One of the judgments that has not been yet executed is when the Lord Jesus Christ lifts up his bride and parades her before all of his creation as the trophy of his grace. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ to the glory of God the Father. And faith believes that. This is a judgment that's yet to be executed. And so what does the child of God say? Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Execute your judgment. You see, one of the reasons why we refuse to accept any works gospel as the hope of salvation is because it destroys our hope. It destroys our hope. If a person says, well, you know, what about this and what about that? No, you can't have it that way. I can't consider that. That takes away my salvation. Verse 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That's all we are. And man at his very best state is altogether vanity. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the revelation of your judgments that you've made to us in your word, and we ask now for your Holy Spirit to make them true to our hearts and our experience. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
232.
Number 232. Let's stand together.
Sing this a cappella.
Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised that he will do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, oh. is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.